Welcome to Torat Imecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz, and today we are studying the Haftorah of Parshas Yisro. So the overview of Parshas Yisro, well, actually, Perikid Ches, as Yisro comes, and he tells Moshe, why are you judging the people alone? You're going to become overwhelmed. This isn't a job for one person. And he tells Moshe to appoint judges. Perikid Tes is the Hachana, the preparation for Matan Torah. Perichof is the Aseres HaDibros, the great revelation at Sinai. And then Perichof, ends with some other mitzvah regarding the Mizbeach and B'chol Malkum Asher Azkir Shemia Voreich V'erach Ticha, which the Mishnah Pirka Avos means learns that even when one person sits on the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is there. L'maisa, the main topic of Parshas Yisro is Matan Torah and the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 declarations when the whole nation heard and the whole nation saw the glory of God. What is the Haftorah? The Haftorah comes from Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Vav, Psukim Aleph, well, it's the entire paragraph, Psukim Aleph through Yud Gimel. After that, Sfardim and Chabad Chasidim conclude. Ashkenazim continue, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Vav, and then two Psukim from Pasuk Tes. And Taimani do the beginning of the Haftorah like Sfardim and Chabad, and they have the last two psukim from Pasuk Tes like Ashkenazim. Okay, I'm going to give you the parasha, not parasha, just joking. I'm going to give you the Haftorah summary from the Art Scroll Stone Edition Chumusha Chumshei Torah, and then we are going to look at a number of psukim, and then we're going to share insights. Okay, the Haftorah of Yisro. Moshe and the children of Israel had experienced a prophecy that showed them God's glory, which called upon them to realize their calling as a kingdom of leaders and a holy nation. What does Hashem say in the beginning of Perek Tes? Tem to you, Mamlecha Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. In the Haftorah, in the vision of Yeshayahu, we are given an account of a similar prophecy and a mixed vision of Israel's fulfillment of God's lofty charge. The prophet Isaiah, Yeshayahu, was shown a vision of the Merkava, whatever that exactly means. Obviously, this is delving into a prophecy of a vision that we cannot understand, but he was shown a vision of the Merkava, the divine chariot, the eminent, pronounced, visible glory of God. And he saw the heavenly court where the angels were paying homage to God. The same vision, by the way, is given in far greater detail in the first chapter of Yechezkel, very famous. As part of this prophecy, Yeshayahu was shown the holy temple, the Beit HaMikdash, filled with smoke. This indicates the kingdom of Yehuda, where Yeshayahu prophesied, and which, of course, where the Beit HaMikdash stood, was going downhill towards destruction and exile. Indeed, Achaz, who was about to become king, and to whom Yeshayahu was soon to bring God's message, Achaz was an idol worshiper who brought spiritual corruption to the people. Yeshayahu was frightened by the vision that he sees. God sends an angel with a call, C-O-A-L, a call from the altar, from the Mizbech, to show Yeshayahu he himself has been cleansed of his sins. Thus fortified and cleansed from his sins, he is prepared to go forth and speak to the people on God's behalf. The prophecy given to him is a stark one. He is told the nation refuses to hear. A nation refuses to see. They will not listen. They will not comprehend. This process will continue until the land is desolate and deserted. This depressing slide would be interrupted frequently by various righteous kings who would inspire waves of teshuva, repentance, national rejuvenation. But the trend would continue until ultimately churban and galut, destruction, and the exile of the 10 tribes later. Nevertheless, even when this dire the destruction and exile 10 reigns later, R-E-I-G-N-S, 10 kingdoms later. Nevertheless, even 10 kings later, even when this dire prophecy comes to the fruition, oh my goodness, Hashem Sivasei Tiftach Ufiya Gidil Secha. Nevertheless, even when this dire prophecy comes true, and the trunk of Israel's tree is barren of leaves and fruit, the trunk will remain a holy seed, for the nation's potential for greatness always remains strong. This potential is illustrated in the last two passages of the Haftorah, which again come from Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Tes, Psukim He through Vav, which Taimani also say in addition to the Ashkenazim. Though Achaz was exceptional in his wickedness, God dispatched Yeshayahu to tell him he should not fear the impending invasion of the more powerful alliance of Aram and the kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north. Achaz, who in his impudence had not feared God when he had brought idol worship into the temple, he even marched his own son through the fires of Molech, was understandably petrified of the alliance. But Hashem wanted Yehuda to remain whole. Hashem would save the kingdom of Yehuda from danger. Yeshua was to take one of his sons with him. Well, a young man whose very name, he has a very, very interesting name, and his son's name is Sha'ar Yashuv, which means Sha'ar, the remnant, Yashuv shall repent. For though destruction will come, Hashem is showing us the remnant of the nation will return to its spiritual pedestal. The reason for this mercy is suggested by the last two verses. Achaz was one of the worst kings, but his son Chizkiah was one of the greatest, a man who purged the kingdom of Avodah Zarah and brought about an unprecedented resurgence of Torah study. This son would be named by God himself. He would be called the Prince of Peace, and he would lead the people to new heights. So even though in this vision, Yeshayahu sees a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, of course, the connection to the parsha that the people by Matan Torah saw a vision of Yeshayahu, he also sees the foreshadowing of the destruction that would come. But ultimately, throughout the Nevuah here, he is promised, and we are promised, that destruction of Am Yisrael will never, ever be total or complete, Chalila V'chas, because the seed of goodness always remains in Klal Yisrael, and the possibility for Teshuvah is always there. And ultimately, Klal Yisrael will come back to Hashem. I was thinking to myself that that's another connection to the parsha, the koach of Torah, Matan Torah, Parshas Yisro, Aseres HaDibros, is that it can always take even someone who is so far gone as to be seen as a sinner. When he immerses himself in Torah, he can always come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I think that that's a beautiful connection between the Torah and the Parsha. The purpose of Matan Torah is so that Lil Mor Ulalami Lishmer V'Lazo, we should learn, we should teach, we should hear, we should do. It is doing Torah that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is when we learn the holy words of Divrei Elokim Chayamim that infuse ourselves with spirituality and elevation, that we realize that we can all come back, come close to Hashem. And that's really the message of Yeshayahu. Even though he sees the destruction that ultimately will happen, there's a message of hope. And the message of hope is Sha'ar Yashuv, the remnant will return. I want to look at the first few psukim of the Haftarah, which all communities recite. Sfardim, Chabad, Taimani, and Ashkenaz. Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. It was in the year of the death of King Uzziah, says Yeshayahu, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Ve'era es Hashem, Yoshev al Kisei, Ram v'Nisa. I saw God sitting on a high and exalted throne. And not only that, the mantle of his helm, of his hem, the mantle of Hashem's hem, his cloak. Again, we can't understand this very well at all, but whatever it means, some image of Hashem's mantle filling the cloak of the temple. Okay, and not only that, but Sraphim, heavenly beings, were standing above him to serve him. Each Sraph had six wings. With two wings, it covered its face. With two wings, it would cover its legs. With two wings, it would fly to perform its mission. Pasuk Gimel, you're going to recognize this. Pasuk V'kara Zeh Al Zeva. Amar Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Melech Chalaretz Kivodo. And each Sraph, each heavenly angel, called one to the other, Holy, Holy, Holy is Hashem, the Lord of Hosts, that His glory fills the entire world. I want to quote from the Steinsaltz Nevi'im commentary on that Pasuk. Isaiah's vision of the high and exalted throne symbolizes God's kingship as supreme, indicating he sits upon the throne. He is exalted beyond all comprehension and defies any definition. Nevertheless, Steinsaltz Nevi'im, the hem of his mantle fills the sanctuary. This symbolizes that despite God's transcendental holiness, which is way beyond our grasp and our ability to understand, his providence is present throughout the world. So we see the hem, so to speak, of Hashem's cloak. Hashem himself, we can't see. Even the main expression of his manifestation, we can't see. We see the hem. But even the hem is so powerful, it is filling the sanctuary. This teaches us that God's glory fills our world. And imagine, lowly man, mortal man, can access in some fashion, infinite, finite, the Ein Sof of the Kosh Baruch Hu. How? By Torah. That's Parshas Yisro. When we listen to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, when we do not have gods of others before, and when we don't take the name of the Lord in vain, when we remember God the Sabbath to keep it holy, when we honor our father and mother, when we live a life of Torah, we are touching HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyachol, so to speak. Pasuk Dalet, and the doorpost of the sanctuary's entrance moved and shook at the voice of the caller. The house was filled with smoke, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence. And Yeshayahu says, Pasuk Hey, Oili, famous Pasuk, Oili kidid meisi, woe unto me, I am silent. Ki ish temeis vasayman, I am a man of impure lips, and amongst the nation of impure lips I dwell. Ki asamech Hashem tzvakos ra'u einai, I am unworthy for my eyes to see the King Hashem, the Lord of hosts. So what happens? Yisrael just said he's not worthy of seeing Hashem, the King, the Lord of hosts. He's not, he's of impure lips. How could he deliver the Nevuah if he's impure lips? Pasuk Vav. Vayav Eli Echad min Asrafim. One of the Srafim attending to Hashem in his holy abode, so to speak, flew over to Mishael. Ubiyado Ritzpah. And in his hand was a call. B'mel kachayim lakach me'al mizbech. He took with tongs, this angel, from upon the altar, this call. And what did he do? Vayiga al pi, Yeshayahu says, the angel touched the call to my lips, my mouth. Vayomer, hine nagaza al svasecha, and the angel said, behold, this has touched your lips. Visar avonecha, and your iniquity, your sin has been removed. Vechatascha tuchupar, and your sin has been atoned for. What is Yeshayahu being told? You are now of clean lips. You are ready to go deliver my message to the people. I want to talk about this next pasuk, Yeshayahu Perek Vav Pasuches. The Eshma is called, after his lips have been cleansed, after he starts to see the vision of God, the Eshma is called Hashem Omer, and I heard the voice of God, and the voice of God said, Esmi Ashalach, who shall I send? Who will fulfill my mission, says God. Umi Eidechlanu, who will go to my children to deliver the prophecy? Va Omer, and Isaiah said, Hineni, behold, I am ready. Here I am. Shalachani. Shalachani. Send me. Parak Vav Pasuches. Va'ashmas kol Hashem omer esmi ashalach v'mi yelech lanu. Va'omer hineni shalachini. And I, Isaiah, heard the voice of God saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will fulfill my divine mission? And I said, send me. And I was preparing the shir, and I came to this pasuk. I really stopped very abruptly in my tracks. I was very, very moved, and I'm going to share with you why. Last year, on Tu Bishvat, 15 Shvat, 5785, my husband and I were zochah to be in Eretz Yisrael. Actually, the last two Bishvats, we were on Har Herzl both days. Tu Bishvat 5784, Tu Bishvat 5785, we were on Har Herzl. We don't have plans to be there. Tu Bishvat 5786, as far as I know right now, unfortunately. We are not planning to be in Eretz Yisrael on those days, but the last 2 years we were there. And when we go to Har Herzl, I try very much to speak to, if they are open and willing, and would like to speak, the mourners who sit by the kfarim. And over the past 2 years, since October 7th, whenever we visit Eretz Yisrael, I've spoken about it with you before, we go to visit Har Herzl, to the new Chalaka, where the Chayalim from this war have fallen and are buried. And we speak to the families, mothers, friends. And we come to know something about the Chayalim. And as you know, I try and incorporate that very much into our Limudim. We should pay our respects. We are indebted. They gave the absolute most mysterious nefesh, the Amenu, the Artsenu. And Klai Yisrael is one guf, one neshama, one lev, one entity, and their pain is our pain. We have an achrayis to give these fallen chayalim a zechira letova for the absolute kedusha that they fell. Bishvil Am Yisrael, Bishvil Eretz Yisrael, Bishvil Medina Yisrael. So when we were there last two, Bishvil 5785, there was a fellow sitting by one of the graves in the new Chalaka. And his name is Robert. Maybe someone who's listening to this knows the family, and they could tell them that I spoke about their daughter. And Robert was sitting there and he was crying by the grave. And we asked him if he would like to speak. And he invited us to sit down next to him on the stone ledge in front of his daughter's grave. If you've never been to Herzl, then we should be zeuche to the Geula Shleima Dayenu V'yosheinu. If you've never been to pay your respects to the Chayalim and speak to their families, the next time you are zeuche to be in Yerushalayim, it's something that is very, very kedai. There's a famous story with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that someone said he wanted to go to the north to daven by Kivrei Tzaddikim. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, why do you need to go to the north? He pointed to Herzl, so he said, you have a whole mountain of Kivrei Tzaddikim. So this man, Rebecca Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H, he invited us to sit down. He said, sit down and I will tell Alba Rebecca. I'm quoting from my notes that I took after we met Robert. Rebecca Henriette Johanna Baruch, born February 3rd, 1999. The family home blended Jewish noble and social values, traditional Friday night dinners, and Jewish holiday celebrations. A yearly highlight was the Passover Seder, attended by many family members and guests. Robert told us that his daughter Rebecca celebrated her bat mitzvah, Parsha Yitro, in January 2011. And her speech focused on the pasuk from the Haftorah in Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Vav, pasuk Ches. The Ashma es Kol Hashem, when Rebecca was bat mitzvah, this is the pasuk she spoke about. And I heard the voice of God saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will go on behalf of the people? And I said, Hini ni, here I am. Shalachini, send me. A month after her bat mitzvah, Parsha Yitro, January 2011, she visited Israel for the first time with her family. After graduating, her father told us Rebecca moved to Israel and enrolled in the Nachshon Mechina Social Leadership Program. There's also a website to her. Some of this is from what her father told us, and some of us, I went to the website for more information. She demonstrated conviction for personal action and assuming responsibility. The pasuk she spoke about at her bar mitzvah was prophetic about who Rebecca was. She joined the army in 2018 as a lone soldier through the Garin Sabar program. Following basic training, she assumed a combat intelligence position in the 727 Field Intelligence Battalion in the Southern Desert. She progressed to officer training. She served in the Lahav Battalion. She was an officer in the Field Intelligence Battalion responsible for guarding the Gaza border. When a balloon fell on the wrong side of the border, she retrieved it before awaiting command or before permission. Her extended military service concluded, listen to this, March 2023, April, May, June, July, for about 5 months before October 7th. She retired with the rank of lieutenant. On the day of the terror attacks, October 7th, she voluntarily reported for duty at 2 p.m. She was called up as a reservist on October the 11th. Her assignment was unclear as her former unit was nearly depleted. Together with a friend, she journeyed to a northern base where their services were now required. They went to a friend's funeral on Har Herzl before reporting back for duty in Southern Command. In the south, she saw the aftermath of the attack that took the lives of friends, soldiers, and officers. On October 13, she was recruited to Air Defense Missile Unit, responsible for ground security of the Iron Dome. She was the first and only female in the platoon. On November 6, 2023, a close friend of hers from Kibbutz Sa'ad, Rose Lubin, was killed. Hashem yikom dama. During a break in December of 2023, she led Habonim summer camp near Cape Town in South Africa. She returned to Israel on January 1st, 2024. She reported back to the Air Force Base the following day. She was emotionally and physically drained. A few days later, she fell ill. Ultimately, she had a brain infection. Her commanding officer requested when she was sick to go home. She didn't want to leave her duty. She didn't want to leave the soldier. She didn't want to leave her responsibility until she was expressly ordered to go on sick leave. A day later, she was admitted to Sheba Hospital, where she fell into a coma. Despite two emergency surgeries and bravely struggling for her life for over 2 weeks, supported by hundreds of prayers, visits, and thoughts, on 11th Shvat 5784, Rebecca passed away. The final words in a letter that Rebecca wrote in case something happened to her, she wrote, "Let people know who I was. Please talk and listen and sing and hear. Let people know who I was. Please talk and listen and sing and hear. And then she wrote, Ha'ikar lo lefachir klal, the main thing is not to fear. Haya li zechut, I had a privilege. Rebecca is survived by her loving parents, younger siblings, Margalit and her brother Asher. After Robert spoke with us, Robert, myself, my husband, we all cried together. And he said to us, you know, thank you. I, Robert, was supposed to come here yesterday, but my car broke down. I couldn't come. And I said to Robert, Hashem wanted us here at the same time so you could share about Rebecca with us. And Robert said to me, nothing is a coincidence. If anybody knows the family of Rebecca Baruch, I think they're from the Netherlands. I think it's from the Netherlands. He was visiting one of those countries. Rebecca, Henrietta, Johanna Baruch, please share this recording with them. Tell them that we did not forget Rebecca, like she wrote in her letter. In case something happens, let people know who I was. Please talk, listen, sing, and hear. Ikar lo lefachid kal hayali zchut. God says, who will help my people? Who will go on my mission? Who will be the prophet of the Lord to save Am Yisrael? Who can I count on? Who can I trust? Every Jew has to say to himself, do you hear the voice of God saying, are you ready to accept your divine mission? Who will go in whatever your capacity is, talents, abilities, capabilities, to defend Am Yisrael? Rebecca, in the most literal sense, Va'omar answered, Hinini, here I am. Shalachini, send me. She is in, I don't know how to tell you exactly where she's buried. If I'm there, I know. In the new Chalakah from October 7th, but near the front. Over the years, Rachmana Letzlan, we have seen the section fill up near the front. Hinini, Shalachani. What's the message of Torah, the parasha of Torah? God calls to us through Torah. When he declares, Anokhi Hashem Elkech, I am the Lord God, it's not so we can be sleeping. It's so we can hear Hashem calling out to us. And he says, are you ready to go on my mission? And every Jew needs to be able to say, Hinini, I am ready. Shalachini, send me. These words of Torah and Haftorah should be a schor for the Zechira Neshama the Tova, for Rebecca Henrietta Johanna Baruch. May her memory be for an eternal blessing. Umach Hashem Dima Me'al Kol Panim. Hashem shall wipe away the tears from upon every face. The Cherpat Amo Yasir Mikol Aretz, the shame of his nation, he shall wipe from upon the earth. If you know her family, please reach out to them. We should share Besura Tovot, the news of the imminent Geula, Lanu Ulecha Yisrael. I wish you a beautiful day, Be'ezrat Hashem and Shabbat Shalom. Thank you all.